God, so once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. Welcome back, all you lucky, lucky people. You know why you're lucky? Because you get to sleep in tomorrow. I got 6:30 a.m. Mass. Most popular Mass of the year, believe me, right? No, just kidding. Little story for you here. Start you off with a little story here this evening. Here's a story of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It's one of my favorites. Changed my whole life, really, when I was in fifth grade. I'll tell you that as another story someday. But, you know, when Mother Teresa died in 1997, she was known and loved the whole world over, wasn't she? Everybody knew about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was celebrated by popes and presidents, Nobel Prize winner. Everybody loved Mother Teresa because of the extraordinary work she did all over the world, helping the poorest people in the entire world, especially the people in India. But did you know that Mother Teresa spent most of her life completely unknown? It's one man who's responsible for telling the world about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. His name was Malcolm Muggeridge. I'm sure lots of you have heard of Malcolm Muggeridge. Malcolm Muggeridge was a celebrated television personality, radio personality, investigative reporter for the BBC. And the year was 1968. Malcolm Muggeridge was in India. And he heard about this extraordinary, diminutive, humble, unassuming religious sister who was working with the poorest people in the poorest cities in the world, and he decided to make a documentary for the BBC. He thought, yeah, this is fascinating. Let's make a documentary about this. So they went into her home for the dying destitutes in Calcutta. And they were starting to film when suddenly the electrical grid failed. And everything was almost in darkness. And all the camera crew said, well, no point in continuing now, right? It's too dark, we can't film. And Malcolm Muggeridge said, you know what, let's just film anyway and we'll make the best of it, right? We'll see what comes out. When they got back to develop the film, they were astonished to find that it was perfectly well illuminated, perfectly lit, but that all of the light was coming from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Extraordinary. He himself tells that story. Malcolm Muggeridge was no friend of religion. He was a skeptic. He was a cynic. But he became a Christian and a Catholic and a devout Catholic entirely because of the witness of this one extraordinary woman. Now, tell you what's most extraordinary about Mother Teresa is there was nothing extraordinary about her personally. She wasn't rich. She wasn't particularly skilled or talented. She didn't have any famous connections. When she stood up straight, she was 5'0". Most of the time she was hunched over, she was somewhere between 4'8 and 4'10". And by her own admission, she says that anything that anyone has ever seen or praised in her is entirely God's work. The only thing she did, she said, was she listened to the voice of Jesus, and she never said no, no matter how hard it was. She says, I love Jesus very much, but sometimes he's so demanding. And she says that was her power. A priest of our diocese, another little story, priest of our diocese, someone I lived with, a former pastor of mine, right, back in the days when I was a little guy, when I was a PV, was going through a really dark time in his life. And he happened to have the chance to talk to Mother Teresa of Calcutta for 15 minutes, poured out all of his woes. And you know what she said to him in response? She said, say yes to Jesus no matter how hard it is. That's made all the difference for me. And then she said, look at me, she said to this priest. She said, look at me. I am old. And he said, yes, Mother. And she said, I am poor. And he said, yes, Mother. And she said, I am ugly. And he said, whatever you say, Mother. But look at what God has been able to do through me. And this is your very simple message for the week, ladies and gentlemen. Very simple message for the week. There's a higher voice in this world speaking to you all the time. And he challenges you to hear him and to answer him. And when you do, you make more difference than you can possibly know, even if you never see it. The story of our first reading. First reading, short little thing, right? Short little first reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Did you know that's one of the most pivotal and important readings in the entire Bible? To understand the first reading, you got to understand some of the background of the first reading. So let me share with you some of the background of the first reading. You remember last Sunday's first reading by chance? Last Sunday's first reading? Last Sunday's first reading was from the Garden of Eden. It was the story of the original sin. It was the story of the fall from grace. It was the story of Adam and Eve. Now, if you know your Bible, you know what came after Adam and Eve, don't you? Things went from bad to very bad, to very, very bad. You know what happened after Adam and Eve? Next thing that happens in the Bible, it's the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible records the world's first murder, one brother killing another out of hate and envy and jealousy. And you know what happened after Cain and Abel? Story of Noah and the great flood. So much sin had infested God's good creation that God decided to wipe the slate clean and start over. Well, was the slate wiped clean? Is sin gone from the world? No, because you know what happened after Noah and the great flood? It's the story of the Tower of Babel. The story of mankind's arrogance and hubris. I'm thinking they'd build a tower straight up to heaven. And after the story of the Tower of Babel, things get worse and worse and worse until it comes to the point where the people living in God's good creation begin to think that God's creation isn't good, that the world is an evil place. And when God's creation is circling the drain, when people are teetering on the brink of despair, that's when your first reading begins. That's when God calls Abram, or as he would later be known, Abraham, a most unlikely hero. Abram from Ur of the Chaldeans, a man of no noble birth, no wealth, no particular strength or ability, 75 years old when God calls him. But the difference that Abraham made is all in the fact that he heard the voice of God and he simply said yes, no matter how hard it was. This is one of the most pivotal lines in all the Bible. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land I will show you." And Abram went as the Lord directed him. All the salvation of the world hung on Abram's yes. Because you know what comes after Abraham? Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel and Moses and King David and King Solomon and all the prophets preparing the way for Christ himself. It makes my head hurt to think what might have happened if Abram had said, "No thanks, I'm just going to sit back and home," right? Crack open another beer. What might have happened if he hadn't heard the voice of God and said yes? It's the voice that we heard in our gospel today. Because every second Sunday of Lent, we always hear this mysterious story of the transfiguration of Jesus, where he takes Peter, James, and John up top of a high mountain, and there, for one brief, shining moment, shows them who he really is. No more hiding. No more hiding beneath the humble appearance of a carpenter, behind the humble appearance of a rabbi from Galilee. He shows them who he really is, and alongside of him are Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, and that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, everything that God has ever promised. And why does he show this to Peter, James, and John? You want to know why? Because in just a few days, they're going to go down from that hill, and they're going to climb up another hill. They're going to climb up the hill of Calvary. And there, they are not going to see Jesus in a vision of glory. They're going to see Jesus drenched in blood, a vision of sadness, a vision of horror. In all truth, God's greatest revelation of his love, but that's a separate homily, right? They needed strength to be able to bear that. Jesus flanked not by Moses and Elijah, but by two common thieves. how hard it would be for them to see that. They needed this. And it's one of three times in the New Testament that you actually hear the voice of God the Father speak. See, when God the Father speaks, you sit up and listen, okay? It's really important. It only happens three times. And he says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." It's going to be hard for them to listen to the voice of Jesus, isn't it? They're going to have to go off to lands that they've never seen before, preach to people who have never heard of the God of Israel. And 11 out of 12 of them are going to die martyrs' deaths. But they said yes. And what an extraordinary difference it made. I like to think of probably the most important person who ever said yes in all of history. The Blessed Mother, who did not know what was going to come her way when she saw the angel. But she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me as you say." No matter how hard it was, she heard the voice of Jesus and she said yes. It's like we heard in our second reading. Here's St. Paul talking to Timothy. "Bear your share of the hardship for the sake of the gospel." Those are God's words to you today. Because I got news for you. The same God is still on the job. He's still speaking every day. Very humble things, very ordinary. You're not going to appear to you in a vision in the clouds surrounded by Moses and Elijah. Could be something very ordinary, the voice of a spouse, the voice of a difficult neighbor. And you're going to hear the voice of God challenging you at your own expense to take a higher road. And I want to tell you today, that makes all the difference. It's never easy, is it? It's never easy. If it was easy, we'd all be saints. It wasn't easy for Abraham. He had to leave behind everybody he ever knew and go to a land. He didn't even know where he was going. I love this line. "Go to a land I will show you. You'll know it when you get there." And Abraham turns and follows the Lord at the age of 75. It was hard for Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know, before she heard Jesus' voice and calling her to serve the poor, she was leading a pretty comfortable life. She was a school teacher, teaching upper-class children at a girls' school. And then she heard this challenging, challenging voice. And she went out into the streets of Calcutta, and nobody went with her. She was entirely alone. She left for India, never saw her family again. But she never said no to the voice of Jesus, and that made all the difference. Do you believe that the same God is on the job? Yes or no? Yes. Do you believe that the same God is calling you? Please say yes. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be rich. God has a funny way of taking a nobody and turning him into a somebody in the presence of everybody without consulting anybody. He has a funny way of acting that way, and he's always been doing so. And that, brothers and sisters, is why I'm so fond of saying, but never more than now in the season of Lent, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.